Okay, shall we pray? Father, we thank you that life with you is really very, very simple. Thank you that Jesus came, showed us how to live, demonstrated your power, died for us, and reunited us with you, the Father. Would you help us this evening as we look at simplicity to hear your voice, just the words from you that we need to hear today, whatever they may be for each one of us. Amen. Well, simplicity. So we are in our series on spiritual disciplines, and we've looked at quite a few already. So quick recap. We have thought about the inward disciplines of prayer, of study, of meditation, and of fasting. And I don't know how you found it, but I have found that every week so far there has been something that's challenged me and encouraged me and sent me away not feeling, oh no, I'm never going to do all this, but thinking, yeah, maybe there's just something I could try in these disciplines, something that would bring me a little bit closer to God. So we've looked at inward disciplines, and now we start to move to things that are perhaps a bit more outward, things that are applied in our lives. And today we get to simplicity. In that reading we had, we've heard Jesus say several significant things, but two that I've picked on. First of all, he said, seek God's kingdom. Don't worry about all these other things, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, maybe where you're going to live, but seek first his kingdom. And then secondly, the real crunch sentence, I think, in this passage. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. It spoke about being rich towards God. That parable of the fool who had a fantastic harvest, and rather than share it with the people around him at the time who could have benefited, he thought, I'm going to keep all this for myself. I can't use it all this year, so I'm going to make sure that I can keep it for myself when I need it. I'm going to build the most enormous barns, and then I can sit down, put my feet up, do nothing else for the rest of my life, and live on this treasure. He thought he knew what was coming, but he didn't. And it says, God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores things up for themselves but is not rich towards God. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How can we be rich towards God? Well, it made me think of that bit where Jesus says, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. If we keep everything to ourselves and we don't share it, we're not being rich towards God. When we share with other people, when we're rich towards them, when we don't keep everything, then we are doing it for Jesus. So it's quite simple, and I could just sit down and say that's it, but I'm not going to. I've got some more questions for us. I think there's something about simplicity and honesty. If we want to grapple with this discipline of simplicity, if we want to think, how does it apply to my life today, this week, this coming term perhaps, then there are some questions. What am I seeking first in life? What am I really seeking first in my life today? I'm tempted to make you turn to your neighbour and give them the answer to that. I'm not sure, it's maybe a bit too personal. What are you seeking first in life? If somebody said to you, you can have whatever you like, in 5 minutes' time you're going to get exactly what you want most in your life, I wonder what it would be. And connected to that is the question, where is my treasure? Where am I investing my effort and my energy? What am I actually building for the future? Am I building barns to store stuff for myself in the future? Or am I being rich towards God and other people? What do I really, really want in life? It's not a zig-a-zig R, by the way, if that makes sense to anybody. What do I really, really want in life? There's a word called a telos. I think it's a Greek word. Your telos is your reason for being, really. It's your purpose, the goal of your life. Your telos is the thing that you are working towards in your life. What is it that you really want? If it just boiled down to that one question, what do you really want? What is your telos? And I've read a couple of books, A Spiritual Year, which is a really good book, really good. If you want the details, come and ask me afterwards. I've got it on my phone. And I read, what's the discipline one? The Richard Foster? Celebration of Discipline, thank you. I read that one too. And there were some questions in there about freedom. So simplicity, honesty, and freedom. How free am I? When we go on holiday and we stay in a holiday cottage, one of the things that I love is that you walk in and there is no clutter. There's just what you need for a week's holiday. In a good cottage, there'll be everything you need, but not lots and lots of things you don't need. So there's a decent knife in the kitchen. There's a tin opener. There's a sieve or a colander or something. There are enough plates and mugs and glasses so that you don't have to wash up after every single meal. If you're really lucky, there's a dishwasher. There is a freedom in having just what we need. How free am I? At home, I don't feel very free. I've got too much stuff. Too much. Am I free to choose and act towards my telos, towards that purpose, towards whatever it is that's calling me, my reason for being here? Freedom isn't just about doing whatever you want, whenever you want. Because some freedoms, if we exercise them badly, lead us away from that purpose for our life. I am free to go and buy, I always use chocolate. You'll think I think of nothing else. Chocolate is not my telos. But I'm free to go and buy as much chocolate as I like. And I could just eat chocolate morning, noon, and night. And I could do that for a week, probably. But it wouldn't actually be helping me to live the life that God is calling me to. I would end up as just a little chocolate blob in the corner somewhere, feeling rather sick. So I can exercise a freedom in that way of whatever I want, of taking it and enjoying it. But ultimately, the freedom that we need is the freedom to choose and act towards that that's good for us, that helps us to be the people God calls us to be, that enables us to be more and more transformed, as Paul said, into Jesus' likeness. So the questions in thinking about simplicity are, what helps and what hinders? What helps you to live a simple life, and what hinders that? And another freedom that I think is really important is freedom from anxiety. I've had times in my life where I've suffered from quite severe anxiety, and it's crippling. It can stop you doing many of the things that you want to do. At one point, every time I drove onto the motorway, I would feel sick, and I'd have to wind down the window and talk myself out of it to carry on. And so it meant that I didn't want to go on motorway journeys. I didn't want to get on a train. I didn't want to go to London. I didn't really sometimes want to go outside the house. Freedom from anxiety. So what causes anxiety? Well, for some people, having too little causes anxiety. People who are struggling to get the basic things they need, to have food, to have shelter, to have somewhere to wash, somewhere to leave your belongings safely, that can cause tremendous anxiety. And we know that we've got friends not far from us now who are suffering that anxiety. But there's also anxiety that comes from having too much. Everything that we buy or acquire has a cost. What's the cost of my possessions to me? When I go and get a car and I drive a car, there are some obvious costs. So I need to pay my insurance. I need to pay my road tax. I need to make sure that I have it serviced regularly. I need to put petrol in the thing. But there are other costs too. My car needs a wash. If anybody wants to volunteer, I'll be here at the end of the service. But in order to look after our possessions, we have to give them time. If you have a pet, then they can bring tremendous joy, but they come at a cost. They need to be cared for, to be looked after. If you have a library of books, they come at a cost. You need to make sure that you have somewhere to keep them, not just leaving them all over the floor all the time. All sorts of things that we acquire come with a cost. And often we don't think about that cost when we buy things. I wonder how often you've bought something and then thought, it's not as great as I thought it would be. I wish I hadn't done that. I've done that with fish. Goldfish. Oh my goodness. They seemed like a good idea at the time, but they come at a cost. Quite a lot of time. Quite a lot of effort. So when you're thinking about adding things into your life, whatever that might be, whether it's possessions, whether it's a new activity, whether it's things like study come at a cost. Sometimes we think very carefully about that cost and whether we're willing to pay it. Sometimes we don't. The question is, do these things help us to move closer towards our telos? Do they help us to become more and more the people that God calls us to be? Or do they get in the way? Do they take time? Do they add distraction? Do they actually lead us off on a different path? So that's anxiety. What about the freedom that can come from simplicity? Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. Look at the plants around you. Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Now I'd say from a very shallow perspective, wild flowers are there to look beautiful. They're there for all sorts of other reasons as well, to feed the insects and to provide all sorts of things. But their purpose is to look beautiful in one sense. And so God makes sure that all they need for that to happen is there. They don't worry about it. They don't think about it. The birds of the air, they don't think about where they're going to feed. God makes sure that they have all they need. So simplicity brings freedom. For us, it can bring freedom from the tyranny of the self. Our expectations our ambitions, if we lead a simple life, then we're not so driven. It can bring freedom from the tyranny of things, our image or materialism. We can become addicted to things. I think perhaps we can become addicted to entertainment as well. I don't know, in our household, sometimes I will ask somebody to do something, naming no names, it's not Ian, and their response will be, I'll come in 10 minutes, I've just got to see the end of this episode. Or, I know sometimes there are days when, and I know my son is not the only one, he will binge on a box set. There is almost sort of an addictive quality to some of those things. And the question again is, are they things that are helping us to be transformed into the image of Jesus? Perhaps they are. Perhaps they challenge us to think about things, to think differently. Perhaps they're good. But maybe sometimes that tyranny needs to be broken. And we need to say, I'm going to put some of those things away. I'm just going to live a slightly simpler life. There's another tyranny. I keep going the wrong way. The tyranny of other people. Simplicity can bring freedom from that tyranny of other people, where we're seeking recognition or status, where we end up feeling oppressed because we want to keep up with other people. We want to fit in. And I think we're called to a simplicity of living that can change that. Okay, so simplicity and freedom, I believe, are closely intertwined. Freedom from anxiety, and when we're honest, freedom from some of the other things that draw us away from God rather than towards Him. So what are the things that can help us? Well, I said that this wasn't quite so much an inner discipline, but more of an outer one. But there are inner attitudes and outward expressions. So first of all, the inner attitudes. If we're going to be truly free and live simple lives, then we need to receive and view all we have as God's gift. Everything we have. If I was to say to you, when you leave this room tonight, everything you own outside of here will have been taken away. So there won't be a car outside, or there won't be a bike outside. There won't be a home to go back to. There won't be a set of clothes in a wardrobe. There won't be a pile of books. There won't be an iPhone or a computer. There won't be a connection to Facebook or to Twitter or to anything else. I wonder how you'd feel if I just said to you, all of that's gone. You're freed. You're freed from all of that. How would you feel? Perhaps you would just like to turn to the person next to you and tell them how you'd feel if that was the reality. You were going to walk out of here. All of that would be gone. What would you feel? Okay, let's have a bit of a straw poll then. How many people thinking that felt, oh, that's quite a relief actually, I wouldn't mind a fresh start. Anybody feel that? A few, okay. How many people thought, oh, what am I going to do without that? Fine. How many of you felt sort of ambivalent? Bit of both. All right. Okay, it's interesting, isn't it? All of those things that you thought you might be without, or I'm saying to you, you know, I would say you're without, all of those things are things that God has given you. Everything comes from God. Everything. Now, if God chose to take those things away from you today, it wouldn't be because he wanted to plunge you into some pit of misery and depression, of poverty, and of not having what you needed. Because it says, don't worry about these things, God provides all we need. But we need to hold everything we have as a gift, knowing that God gives us things for a purpose. So that's the first thing. The second thing, the second inner attitude, is to trust God to care for our stuff and to use common sense. So to not get so bound up with holding on to things and looking after things that they become tyrannical in our lives, but to trust that if God has given it to us and it's good for us, then it will remain. But we need to use common sense as well. We need to lock our doors because we don't want to lead other people into temptation apart from anything else. We need to live in an ordered society. But we don't need to worry so much about tomorrow, about the future, about building those barns, because we don't know what's coming. And the third one, which is quite challenging, to hold all we have as being freely available to others. So to receive and hold everything we have as a gift from God, to trust him that he will supply our needs, and to hold everything as freely available to others. That's quite challenging. Somebody comes to you and says, oh, I really like that jumper you're wearing tonight, and I'm feeling a bit cold. Obviously, that's not a great example to have picked this evening. But, you know, if somebody came to you who didn't have a jumper and was feeling cold and you had a lovely warm jumper, could you hold that and say to them, here you are, because God has given it to me, I can give it to you? Can we do that with some of the other things we have? Not just things, but time as well. If somebody needs our time, can we hold it as a gift from God? Can we trust him to give us enough time? And can we share our time with other people? These are the inner attitudes that will help us in this discipline of simplicity. So then we get on to some outward expressions. This is from the Sacred Yearbook. And this guy went and saw a very wise, I think he was a monk, every month for a year. And when they were talking about simplicity, this was the advice he gave him. He said, first of all, if you want to live a simple life, purge your house. Have a clear out. Go through it and say, do I need this? Does this bring me life? Or does it get in the way? I don't know if you've read the book, The Japanese Art of Tidying. Fantastic book. I bought it a little while ago. And it's written by, I think she's only about 23 and she's Japanese. And this girl has a principle that you take something, you organize all your things so you have everything that's the same together. First of all, you take all your clothes and you take each piece in your hands and you go, does this bring me joy or not? And if it brings you joy, as you hold it and feel it and look at it, you go, right, I'll keep that. And you use her great system for storing things. She recommends kind of piling your clothes up so that they're folded that way rather than that way, and then you can see everything all together. I haven't done it, but the amazing thing is, she says, when you hold these things in your hands, if it doesn't give you joy, you chuck it. You can give it to a charity shop, or you can throw it in the bin or whatever, but if it doesn't actually make you feel joyful or serve a purpose at this time, you get rid of it. And one of the most freeing things I found from that was she was saying, if you are holding on to things because somebody gave them to you, and you feel that you must keep them, even though you can't stand them, she said, feel free to chuck them, because the point of a gift is that it's an expression of love or of care or something. And once a gift has been given with love and received with love, it's served its purpose. So actually, you don't have to keep that horrible vase that you really hated but your Aunt Jemima gave you years ago. You can just get rid of it because you have got from it all it could give you, which was the knowledge that Aunt Jemima loved you very much and had terrible taste. So the first thing is to have a clear out, have a purge, look at things. Do I need it, or is it getting in the way of my life? Second thing he talked about doing was reclaiming, make doing and mending, not being caught in the tyranny of fashion. So he says, why do you need to change clothes if they haven't worn out? Why do you need to buy a new jumper if you've got a jumper that works perfectly well? If you've got a jumper that's got a hole in it, why not mend it? This is the simple life where you go, what really matters? What is it that I'm really holding on to and why? So he talks about darning socks on a bus. He had a long bus journey and he darned his socks and someone leant across and said, why are you doing that? You could just buy new ones, couldn't you? And he goes, well, why would I buy new ones when I can mend the hole? There's nothing wrong with them. I think that's a tremendous challenge to quite a lot of us. I look in my wardrobe and think, how much of this do I actually need? Maybe somebody else can make better use of the things that we're holding. And finally, the outward expression is delighting. Take time to really appreciate things and don't take anything for granted. We talked about fasting last week, and I don't know if you've tried that, but the meal at the end of a fast tastes so much better than almost anything else that you could eat. If you fast, and I don't know if you've ever given up chocolate for Lent or something like that, if you don't have something for a long time and then you taste it again, you have it again, maybe if you've stopped having coffee for a week or so and then the first cup of coffee you have tastes so much better, doesn't it? You had that experience of really appreciating something that you had got so used to, you took for granted. So if you want to have a go at this discipline of simplicity, I think that Jesus encouraged us to, because of that phrase, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if we can live lives that are disciplined to simplicity, then our treasure will not be in our possessions. Our treasure will not be something that could be taken away from us. Our treasure will be set in heaven. Our effort will go to being generous to God, being rich, as he said, to God. And we do that by being rich to other people. So I'd love to challenge you this week to have a think about whether you can simplify something in your life. And I'd like us just to pause and maybe to think, is there one thing? It might be a possession, it might be a chunk of time, it might be a gift that you have that somebody else needs. If anybody has the gift of car washing, as I say, speak to me afterwards. Is there one thing that God might be calling you to put aside, to simplify your life by dealing with this week? Let's just pause for a moment, think about that, and then I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we have sung songs this evening that talk about you setting a fire in our souls that we can't contain or control. Lord, we want to be people who worship you not just with our words, but with our lives. We want to set our hearts on the things that will last, on your kingdom. And yet it's so easy for us to set our hearts on what we eat and drink, what we own. It's so easy for us to worry about having enough and to forget that you have promised to give us all we need. Lord, would you show us this week where our treasure is, where it is now, and where you would like it to be. Thank you that you love us as we are, but that you also call us to allow you to transform ourselves. And we pray that you would work in us and through us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.